I'll be reading this morning Matthew chapter 7. And I am aware of the time, and I agree that we have not wasted time with our children this morning. These are very sacred and precious moments, and especially to grandparents like me. See, my children being taught how to praise God with their hands and their voice is very, very important. Appreciate sacrifice of our teachers. Honor Sister Arrington again this morning. God bless her for 60 years of ministry. Lost her husband of 69 years, and she's probably anxious to join him, but we're going to all get together one of these days on the other side, and what a day that's going to be. Glad little Helen's family came to see her move on up this morning. What a precious, sweet little girl. Matthew chapter 7 in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. My subject this morning is the sinkhole of sin. The sinkhole of sin. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for being the rock that we can build our house upon. Let each of us take heed how we build our house to make sure that we're built upon that rock. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Look forward to seeing you here at 6 o'clock this evening for praise and worship. March the 1st, 2013, just a few days ago in Tampa, Florida, 36-year-old Jeff Bush was asleep in his bedroom. Five other members were present in the house. They heard a loud noise and Jeff screaming. They were horrified at what they saw. Jeff's brother, Jeremy Bush, jumped into the hole and furiously kept digging, trying to find his brother. The hole took the entire bedroom, he said. You could see the bed frame, the dresser. Everything was sinking. Experts put listening devices into the hole to try to see if they could get some sound from Jeff Bush to see if he might still be living. But the ground kept moving, and their equipment sunk into the hole. He's down there, but we can't hear anything, and we can't see anything, a rescue worker said. We just can't do anything. There's a very large, very fluid mass underneath this house, rendering the entire house and the entire lot dangerous and unsafe. We're still trying to determine the extent and nature of what's down there so we can best determine how to approach it. When I read this, heard about this, my first impression was the pure horror and panic of dwelling in what you think is a safe place. Then suddenly, underneath you, the world opens up and swallows. has to be the most terrifying thing. But also remember and recall that this is a picture of the human family, where many people have built their house on the sinking sands of human reasoning and philosophy. We have literally the human race, due to sin, is living and existing over a giant sinkhole. While we live our private little lives, secure in our little world, thinking that nothing could ever touch us here, that everything is going to be all right, not knowing that beneath us there is a sinkhole called sin that will in time engulf every life that is not built on the rock, Christ Jesus. Often the effects of sin are undetected, as it was in this house, living there for years and years and years, not knowing that underneath was something working that would prove to be devastating to the family. That is a picture of sin. There's a very large fluid mass underneath every house, the expert said, that is rendering the entire area unsafe and working underneath humanity that is not built on the rock. Is a very large fluid mass that is unstable and will in time fall and fail. Sin has rendered the entire human race and house of man unsafe. The soil beneath us is sinking every day, and sometimes undetected. In Florida, residents in this area know that there are danger areas. And I'm often amazed when I hear about certain parts of the country, such as California, who scientists say it's not if an earthquake will come, but when an earthquake that will swallow possibly the entire coastline. And yet people build there anyway. New Orleans built below sea level. Imagine that. We saw what Katrina could do. Why would anybody build a life below the sea level and in an area where an earthquake is almost certain? The only reason I can think is that they would live there and build their life there because they don't think it will happen here. It'll be somebody else. Somewhere else. It won't be my house. It won't be my family. But yet we understand that sin is prevalent. It's the foundation of humanity. And yet every day people spend their lives building on that which will one day sink from beneath them. Experts call in oftentimes will declare an area safe, later to be found to be unsafe, because experts don't always know what they're talking about. Sometimes spiritual experts are called in and the danger of sin are kind of glossed over, and the spiritual experts say that God won't let you be lost and sin is not such a bad deal. But don't listen to the experts that say sin is no big deal, because sin is the sinkhole beneath every life not founded on the rock. And it will happen. Your world will crumble. You will come down. It will sink. That's why we've got to build on the rock. Have you ever noticed in our society how words change? They don't mean what they used to be as they evolve over time. And as we try to fit modern vernacular, we change terms that they don't mean what they used to mean. For instance, the word sin. It doesn't have an emotional punch anymore. Sinner. We can remember a day, those of us who are older, who when you heard the word, you're a sinner without God, it kind of struck you in the heart. When you heard about sin, and you heard about eternity, and we heard about hell, and we heard about heaven, and we heard about adultery, we heard about repentance, but today none of those words mean anything anymore. But that's modern thinking. God said that sin is a reproach to any nation. Sin destroys. Sin kills. Because the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't ever think you're safe apart from the rock. The world is crumbling beneath our feet today. Words don't mean quite what they used to. Heard of a preacher I used to know who was a pretty solid preacher. Now he's drifted away from the truth. And so I thought, well, I'll go listen to his website and pick up one of his sermons. Just kind of see what he's got to say. And this man spent about 30 minutes and he talked about mistakes and errors that we make just kind of everything, but he wouldn't say sin. You see, because the expert have determined that we don't like to hear the word sin. We don't like to hear the word sinner. We don't want to be reminded we're born in sin. We don't want to hear about that. And so they say, don't use those offensive words. But Jesus used those words. And Jesus taught us that we must repent from our sin or we will surely perish. I don't care what the experts say. Sin is still a sinkhole beneath the life of everybody, not built on the rock. Now, you know, it's not fun to preach about sin because, we kind of take it personal, I guess. We don't like to hear about hell. I don't like to talk about hell. I don't even like the concept of hell. But it's not my concept. It's not my word. It's in God's book. And Jesus talked about people being lost and dying and going to hell with his weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so our modern society says, don't tell me things that make me fearful. But yet I would rather make somebody fearful and realize that they're lost than to let them happily go spend eternity in a devil's hell. And is it a friend that tells you the truth or a friend that lies to you? If a preacher says you're okay like you are, you don't need to worry about all this sin. If you end up going to hell, was he your friend? But if somebody says the things that we don't like to say and we don't like to hear, but the result is I get my life built on the rock, that man is my friend. And so I've come to tell you today that the Word of God says we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and that life is a sinking pit beneath our feet until we turn to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher and the foundation of our faith. And it's kind of interesting to hear a guy trying to get people to think about repentance, but is afraid to say the word sin. Sin carries no emotional punch anymore. In fact, we profit from sin in America. We got sin tax. It's always interesting to me. They go ahead and call it what it is. It's a tax on sin, cigarettes and beer and whatever else. We prosper from sin. We want sin to flourish. We need the tax money. But sin is not a joke, and I would hate to stand before God receiving tax on sin, but I sure don't want to live a life that's given to sin and live for many years above a sinkhole that one of these days is going to crumble beneath our feet. Crime. Well, you know, you hear the politicians talk about crime. They're not going to call it what it is. It's crime. But really, it's a sin. It's a sin to kill, to murder, to rob, to rape. It's a sin. And if the world would ever call it what it is, we might have a chance to get out of it. As long as it's crime and it's errors and it's just little mistakes that we make, we'll never deal with it. I like to sing. One of my favorite songs is, "He looked beyond my fault and saw my need." I've only got one problem with the song, and it's the word fault. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. So we sing it that way, and I've tried to think how to work in the word sin. It just doesn't quite fit just right. But Jesus didn't look beyond my fault. He didn't look beyond my mistakes. He didn't look beyond my errors. He looked beyond my sin and saw my need. He knew that sin was destroying me, and that's why he went to the cross. So we take advantage of God's mercy because he does not execute judgment quickly. Look at Adam and Eve. Jesus, the word of God said to Adam, "The day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely die." He ate of that tree, but he died at the age of what? 960. Look how long he lived after God pronounced death. It wasn't physical death, it was spiritual death. And sometimes we just keep on living, keep on doing our sin, keep on our wicked ways, thinking everything's all right. But the Bible says that because God does not execute judgment quickly, we take advantage of his mercy. Let me tell you, you don't have to worry about dying. If you're living today and you've not repented, your sin's been washed away, and you're not built on the rock, you're already dead. You're born in sin. The Bible says the trespasses of sin and death, because sin is death. But if you want to live, get up and seek the face of Jesus Christ. Get your life on the rock. Have some self-discipline. Learn how to tell yourself no to sin. People don't like to do that. Anything we want to do, we want to do it. Nobody can tell me otherwise except the Word of God. Except God's Word. So, sin dominates. Rich, poor, old, young, presidents, senators, secretaries, carpenters, beggars, trash haulers, senators, governors, kings. It doesn't matter. Everybody's born in sin. And sin also dominates. It controls. It rules. It kills. It destroys. Everything sin touches, it produces death and destruction. Everything sin touches. Why you think our jailhouses are full? Why you think our homes are not refuges for our kids, but they're filled with violence and hatred and drunkenness and perversion? Homes are not the refuge anymore because sin destroys everything it touches. It destroys everything it touches. And sin is real. Did you know we didn't invent sin just as a religious ploy to try to manipulate people? We didn't just come up with sin. Oh, I think we'll call this thing sin so we maybe try, you know. No, sin is a God. It came from God's Word. That's how we know about it. But it's powerful and it's subtle and it's so persistent that if we don't make a conscious effort to stop sin, it will become our master. See, sin is subtle. The devil worked on Adam and Eve subtly. The devil doesn't show up with his pitchfork and yell in your face, "I'm the devil." But he'll be subtle, he'll be sly, he'll be slick, he'll be an angel of light, sometimes the Bible says. So it is so, sin is so enticing that if we don't make a conscious effort to deal with it, we'll not deal with it and it will destroy us. And don't ever forget, God hates sin in 2013 as he did 2,000 years ago. He still hates sin. If sin was harmless, maybe he wouldn't be so concerned. But sin destroys a relationship with God, and it destroys humanity, those that God loves with everything he has. And that's why God hates sin. He don't hate you or me. He loves us. That's why he hates the sin. And sin destroys innocence. Adam and Eve in the garden, just innocent. It wasn't until sin came that they knew that they were naked. Sin destroys innocence. Children today, as most people that deal with kids can tell you, kids today know way too much, way too young. Sin destroys innocence. Sin destroys relationships. Adam and Eve hid from God once they had sinned. Sin destroys our will to do right. I would do good, Paul said, but evil is present with me. Sin leads to slavery. Sin produces more sin. Don't build your life on the sinkholes of sin. Don't build there. How many times through the years? I can go back now and see families I pastored 30 years ago. Today, many, many, many of their marriages are wrecked. Their kids are out in horrendous sins and imprisoned. And I'm thinking, why didn't you build your house on the rock? When you heard the preaching and the teaching about building on the rock, why didn't you do that? So I'd like to admonish maybe some of us here today, don't build where you're building. Don't build your life where you're building your life. There's a sinkhole of sin beneath your house. And one of these days, it will catch you unprepared. That's why Jesus said, repent or perish. And those... Paul taught us that we ought to use the world but not misuse it, for the form of this world is passing away. That's why John said, love not the world, neither the things are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of God, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. The world, if you're living for the world and building on the world, it's dying from beneath your feet as we sit here today. David said, save me, Lord, from the waters. I sink in a deep mire where there is no standing. A deep mire, a sinkhole of sin. Paul and David said, I can't get a footing here. I can't get stability here. I can't get traction here. Help me, Lord. I'm sinking in the miry pit. That's where we are without God. But David said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock. So I've come to admonish you today, if you're building on the sands of this world, don't build there. Don't build there. It will fall. It will fail. It will sink beneath your feet. It will let you down. And so this morning, the news said they just got down in that sinkhole, and they found that man. And of course, he was dead. And I saw reports of people frantically trying to get some response from that man to that sinkhole, but it was too late. And so I've just come to talk about the foundation which standeth sure, that is Christ Jesus. And the word of God that abides forever. Build on this word. And you'll never have to worry about the sinkhole of sin. Build on the rock. And you don't have to worry about the sinking sands of humanity. Every eye closed. We thank you, Lord, this morning for such a foundation. You said there's no foundation that any man could lay. That rock is Christ Jesus. And if we build any other place other than on the rock, one of these days our world will crumble beneath our feet. Just as sure as the sun came up this morning, every life built on the sinkhole of sin will crumble. Jesus said, "If that man who hears my sayings and doeth my words will be like that man who built his house on the rock. The winds came and the rain fell, but it could not fall." Every man that heareth these words and doeth them. But every man that hears these words and doeth them not, his house will not stand. So that's why it's so important that we build on the rock. Pursue God's will for your life. Don't let sin entice you and grip you and hold you and dominate your life. You can be free from addictions. You can be free from the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You can be free from those things. And oh, that's the freedom that we all need. That's the freedom we all need.